back tonight. We're going to talk tonight in the book of 1 and 2 Thessalonians is where we're going to be. I know that my Redeemer lives and ever prays for me. I know eternal life He gives, from sin and sorrow free. He wills that I should holy be, in word, in thought, in deed. Then I His holy face may see, when from the earth I freed. I know that unto sinful men His saving grace is high. I know that He will come again to take me home on nigh. I know that is over yonder stands a place prepared for me, a home, a house not made with hands, most wonderful to me. I know that my Redeemer lives. I know eternal life He gives. I know that my Redeemer lives. And one other, my redeemed, how I love to proclaim it, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, redeemed through His infinite mercy, His child, and forever I am, redeemed and so happy in Jesus, no language my rapture can tell. I know that the light of His presence with me doth continually dwell. I know I shall see in His beauty the King in whose law I delight, who lovingly guardeth my footsteps and giveth me songs in the night. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, redeemed, redeemed, His child, and forever I am. We're going to talk tonight about redeemed. We're going to talk about what Paul, in his letter to the Thessalonica church, and what he had to say to them. The church in Thessalonica was a church that Paul, Timothy, and Silas had all set up together. And this letter was written probably somewhere around 51 A.D. And for all practical purposes, it may have been the earliest letter that Paul sent out. The church in Thessalonica, when Paul and his troops were there, they had trouble when they were in town. It was tough for them to get the church set up. They were only there for somewhere probably between 2 and 3 weeks. And basically were run out of town. They had to leave for their own life's sake. Paul had the idea in his head that this church probably was not going to make it. And then he got word that it not only had made it, but that it was thriving. And he was joyous. So he wrote these two letters to the church in Thessalonica. Again, one of them, 1 Thessalonians in about 51 A.D., 2 Thessalonians about 6 months later. So they were fairly close together. And he wanted to remind them what they had done, what they had heard, and what they had believed in. And thus, the sermon tonight, coming from these two letters, Redemption for the Saints. And he talks about the gospel as being the link to our redemption, the link to our salvation. I want to start with 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. And I'm going to read 9 through 15. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, 9 through 15. Paul starts out, he says, "For you remember, brethren, our labor and toil." That's his, Timothy's, and Silas's. "For laboring night and day, that we might not be a burden to any of you, we preach to you the gospel of God. You are witnesses, and God also, how devoutly and justly and blamelessly we behaved ourselves among you who believe." So he's padding his own work here in that he did what God wanted him to do. He treated them with gentleness. He taught them the word of God. And they were justly and blamelessly doing that. And then he goes on and he says, "As you know, how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father does his own children." And I think it's important we understand what he's saying here, because he says to them, "We exhorted you, we comforted you, and we charged you," just like every father does their child. And those of us that have children and are in the midst of raising them or have raised them, this is what we do. And we look at the end product and we see how successful they become and what wonderful people they become. And that's what Paul's telling them. We were there, we exhorted you, we comforted you, we charged you in God's word, just as a father would his own children. Why did they do that? That you would walk worthy of God who calls you into his own kingdom of glory. We do that so you walk worthily. We do it in our own family so that you can walk successfully. In verse 13, he says, for this reason, we also thank God without ceasing. It's an ongoing thankfulness that Paul has to God for this church. Because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, what happened? He tells them, he says, you welcomed it, not as the word of men, but as it is in truth. So they accepted the word of God that Paul and Timothy and him taught them. And they accepted it, not as Paul's words necessarily, but as the truth, the word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe. For you, brethren, became imitators of the churches of God, which are in Judea and in Christ Jesus. For you also suffered the same things from your own countrymen, just as they did from the Judeans, who killed both the Lord Jesus and their own prophets and have persecuted us. And they do not please God and are contrary to all men. So he said, okay, here it is. We came in, we were calm, we taught you, you listened, and you were persecuted just like we're persecuted, just like the other churches in the region and the other Christians in the region. You're all being treated the same way. You're all under persecution. And most of this persecution that they were coming up against were Jews that had either not turned to Christianity or had accepted Christianity but didn't really accept that Christ was the only way. They still wanted to lean into the fact that they wanted to hold on to their old traditions and the old law, and they thought maybe they needed that plus Christ to get to salvation. So the Gentiles and the Christians in the land were being persecuted by this. The fact is, Paul and Timothy and Silas, when they were run out of town, they were run out of town by Jews. And these people followed them. I think they went to Berea, if I'm right. Followed them to Berea and continued to hassle them. So Paul's saying here, he says, okay, you've become imitators of the churches of God. You're doing what the churches of God are supposed to do. You're imitating. South Valley, you're imitating. Let this be instruction to us tonight also. You suffered the same things from your own countrymen just as they did from the Judeans. So you're not suffering anything that everybody else didn't suffer. And you're thriving. You're growing. These are instructions from Paul. Now, let's take a little closer look at what's going on here. Let's go back to verses 8 through 10. 1 Thessalonians 1, 8 through 10. It reads, for from you the word of the Lord has sounded forth, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith toward God has gone out so that we do not need to say anything. So the people throughout the region have heard about the faith of the people in Thessalonica. For they themselves declare concerning us what manner of entry we had to you and how you turned to God from idols to serve from the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivered us from the wrath to come. So right in this first chapter, he's reminding them, Jesus was raised from the dead. Important to salvation, important to our redemption. 1 Thessalonians 2, verses 14 and 15. For you, brethren, became imitators of the churches of God which are in Judea, for you also suffered the same things. And then in verse 15 it says, who killed both the Lord Jesus and their own prophets. So what we have here is Jesus being killed, Jesus was also raised up. So he's just reminding him here, just as we use this to remind us. Jesus came to this earth, He was born here. He lived here. He walked on this earth. He taught here. He died here. He was buried here. And he was resurrected from here. And now he sits at the right hand of his Father. So, if all that didn't happen, how could we ever have redemption through the blood of Christ? He had to die. It was prophesied. But Paul wants to remind everybody, this is what's happening. So he reminded them that Christ died and he was raised from the dead. 2 Thessalonians 2. We get into a little more instruction as to what the gospel does and why we need the gospel. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 14. He says, to which he called you by our gospel for the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Key word there is he called us through the gospel. So without the gospel, without the knowledge that we get from reading God's word and studying God's word, where's the redemption come from? We have to know what we're doing in order to be redeemed. Knowing what we're doing, God calls us from the words that he's provided for us. 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 13, we just back up one verse. But we are bound to give thanks to God always for you. This is Paul again, giving thanks for the church. Their brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth. Okay? Now, to make this simple and just to lay it out, before Christ hung on the cross, we all know the Jews were the chosen people. Once Christ hung on the cross, his blood was shed for everyone. Those that accepted Jesus, those that were baptized, those are the ones now that are the chosen people. And that's what Paul's saying to them here in verse 14, to which he called you. In verse 15, those, therefore, brethren, stand fast, hold the traditions which you were taught, whether by word or by our epistle. So we have the gospel. We've been taught through the gospel. We've been called through the gospel. Now we see that through the gospel, he has chosen those who have are willing and have accepted him. Those who have turned their life over, those who devote themselves to Christianity, those who say, yes, I will obey God's commands. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 8 through 10. Now we get a little further into what the gospel does for us and what we need to do to respond. Verse 8 starts, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we all know that fire relates to hell. So what Paul's referring to, that this fire is going to take vengeance on those that don't know God and those that don't obey the gospel. Though these should be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. And then in verse 10, when he comes in that day to be glorified in his saints and to be admired among all those who believe, because our testimony among you was believed. So the key word in here in this verse 10 is believed. You can read the gospel all day long, but if you don't believe it, it's not going to do you any good. Paul says, you're to be admired among all those who believe because our testimony among you was believed. When Bruce gives sermons, when I give sermons, Steve, anybody else stands in this pulpit and gives sermons from God's word, these words that come out of our mouth are God's words. They're the words from the gospel. Those are the same words that Paul and Timothy and Silas preached in Thessalonica. And he's telling them, you believed what I said, not because they were my words, but because they were God's words. So you have to believe the gospel. If you don't believe it, then you're going to be consumed by this fire that's talked about. 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 9 and 10. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan with all power, signs, and lying wonders. We talked about Satan last time I was in this pulpit, about how he lies, about the power he has over you, and the signs. And Paul's telling here, the coming of that lawless one according to the work of Satan, all that power and all those signs and all those lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth, and they might that they might be saved. What happened? In verse 10 it says, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love and the truth. So Paul's saying here now, you're called through this gospel, you're chosen through this gospel, you have to believe the gospel, and now he's saying you have to receive it. So not only a belief, you have to receive it. You have to be able to put it to use in your own life. 2 Thessalonians 1, verse 8. We go back to this flaming fire. In flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of the Lord Jesus. Now, here's a big word when you come to obedience. Because what does it entail? There's many today that think all I have to do is raise my hand and say, I've accepted Christ. That's part of it. But it's a small part. Obedience. Paul's laid it out here. You have to have the gospel. You have to read the gospel. You have to be chosen through that gospel because you are obedient to God. You have to believe it. You have to receive it. Now, obedience, we know part of that obedience is a baptism. Hear, believe, repent, confess, be baptized. And it doesn't end there. Because now you're to live a righteous life thereafter. Okay, so what does that mean? That means that we try to walk in light that Jesus has walked in as close as we possibly can. When we're going to make mistakes. God knows we're going to make mistakes. Paul tells us that and God says we're all sinners and we all fall short. And we do. But through the blood of Christ, we have redemption. We have forgiveness of those sins. But we can't knowingly commit the same sin, sin after sin after sin. If you're knowingly sinning and you know it's a sin and you've asked forgiveness of that sin, then you have to do away with that sin. That's part of obedience. We're back here tonight. Why are we back here tonight? I hope because we want to be. But also because of obedience, God says, don't forsake the assembling of the saints. Now, I understand there's times and there's things that go on that we can't get to worship service. But if we're able, we need to be there. God says so. I'll never forget Claude McGowan one morning. Looked at me right in the eye and he said, God said it, I believe it, and I'll do it. Many of you don't know Claude McGowan, but he worships at Victory Road. Those words have stayed with me ever since he said that. God said it, I'll believe it, and I'll do it. Now that's obedience. That's what Paul's talking about. And that's what's being talked about here in verse 8. Because if you don't have that obedience and obey the gospel, you're going to be taken up in a flaming fire. That's not me saying it. That's Paul right here. In verse 9, he says, these shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. He's not mixed any words here. He's telling you exactly what's going on. 1 Thessalonians 1 and verse 9. For they themselves declare concerning us what manner of entry we had to you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. So what does the gospel do? It turns you away from things you shouldn't be doing. Paul's saying here, you turned away. You turned to God from idols. Why did you do that? To serve the living and true God. Now, if you didn't hear, Paul's saying, if you didn't hear my words, if you didn't hear my and Timothy's words, and Silas, and we didn't have the gospel to bring to you, you couldn't have turned away from those idols. You would still be doing that. But we did bring it to you. You did hear it. You did believe it. You did come to an obedience with it. You turned away from false idols. False idols we have in our own lives. We may think, okay, you know, we all believe in God. That's fine. I understand that. But is he truly number one in our lives? I would hope so. But sometimes a house and the pride of ownership gets in the way. Sometimes work and greed gets in the way. Sometimes friends get in the way. There's many things that are false gods other than another figurehead, as a Muhammad or someone like that. There's false gods in our own lives. We have to be careful that we don't let something or someone come in front of us and get in place of where God needs to be. These are the false idols. Not necessarily what Paul's talking about, but these are things that we fight in our own lives. And it's a daily fight. I know because I fight them. And I figure, you know, you all heard me say this. If I'm fighting them, I figure many others are too. I'm one of these guys, if I see a mouse under the building, there's probably 100 more there with him. So if I've got a problem, then there's other people that have the same problem. And we have to be careful that we don't let something get in front and keep us away from God. The last 5 points are simple. Again, it's the gospel brings. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 9. But concerning brotherly love, you have no need that I write to you, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. Chapter 4, verse 17. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together and with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. 4, verse 8. Therefore, he who rejects this does not reject men, but God, who has also given us his Holy Spirit. So we're seeing that the gospel is important into salvation. It's important into sanctification. And now we see, therefore, he who rejects this does not reject men. Okay, if you're rejecting God's word, you're not rejecting man. If you don't listen to what Bruce or me or someone else up here has to say, and it's God's word, you're not rejecting us. You're rejecting God. And God was also the one that has given us his Holy Spirit. We receive the Holy Spirit when you are obedient, when you're baptized. The gospel does that for us. 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 10. And to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivers us from wrath to come. We don't want to be caught up in that wrath. The blood of Jesus, the death of Jesus, and Jesus himself will deliver us from that wrath. And then finally in 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 10, and indeed you do so together, all the brethren who are in all Macedonia, but we urge you, brethren, that you increase more and more. We need to understand tonight the entirety of what Paul has said here in these letters in 1 and 2 Thessalonica. He has a church that he had set up that he didn't think was going to make it. But he did a better job than what he thought he had done. They accepted the words that they had been that had been preached to them in the short period of time that he was there. And they had taken those words and they had made themselves stronger and they had made the church stronger. And the news that had gotten back to Paul was such news. And you got to believe that the work that Paul did, the miles that he traveled, the things that he had done, and to leave a town thinking in his own mind that this probably wasn't going to work, to have it really become solid and thriving. He had to be elated. God had a hand in it, of course. It's just like this congregation. When it started, you know, no one really knew what was going to happen. But with the forbearance, with the steadfastness of those that started this church, the willingness to take and be led by the gospel, to know and understand what God had to say to them, this church has thrived. And God says, where there's a church, where there's a congregation, I will give the increase. As long as everyone's obedient, as long as people are doing my word. I've seen, probably maybe most of you have seen, congregations that fall apart for whatever reason. Maybe it's bad leadership. Maybe it's bad preaching. Maybe it's they've gotten clear off path. But those things happen. This didn't happen in Thessalonica. It started and it continued to grow. It continued to thrive. And Paul says to them, because you have the gospel, you have all these things. Just continue to believe in it. Continue to obey it. Continue to receive it. And you'll stay strong. You'll stay steadfast in your work. And you'll be able to walk in the light as Christ wants you to. That's the message tonight. If there are any here who have not gone into a watery grave, have not put on your Lord through baptism, have not received the Holy Spirit through baptism, now would be the time to make that known. And the water's prepared. We're prepared. Question is, are you? This is also an invitation for those that might have problems in their lives, whether it be their spiritual life or physical life. If you need help with this congregation, if you need prayers of this congregation, we know that they work because we've seen the results. So if anyone has anything, needs anything, any kind of prayer, please come forward and make it known as we stand and sing.